Welcome to Living the Tradition panel, the session of Europa. My name is Victor, I'm an alcoholic from Stockholm, Sweden.
Hi, Victor.
This is the AA preamble. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through your own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, a political organization, or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorse or oppose any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. About anonymity. Your public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always to maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. Thus, we respectfully ask that AA speakers and AA members not be photographed, videotaped, or identified by full name on audio tapes and in published or broadcast reports of your meetings, including those reports on the new media technologies such as in the internet. Yeah. The assurance of anonymity is essential in your efforts to help other problem drinkers who may wish to share your recovery program with you. And your tradition of anonymity reminds us that AA principles come before AA personalities. The meetings of Europa are being recorded, so we ask that you only identify with your first name and city when you're sharing. This is the panel presentation. Yeah, now we're going to have a panel, and we have Anders to go first.
Hi, my name is Anders. I'm an alcoholic from Copenhagen.
Hi, Anders.
Who actually, when talking about the tradition, have a hard time not saying my last name because I think we are not anonymous inside of AA and we are at an AA meeting. But that's another issue, not living the tradition, which we are going to talk about today. First of all, I got sober on the 8th of January 1998, and my home group is called Men Among Men. We meet Thursday night at 8:15 in Copenhagen, Denmark. It's the best AA meeting in the world, and I hope your home group is the same. First of all, I want to publicly to thank my wife, who's home taking care of our two small children, because without her, I could not be here. I think it's important to acknowledge that. On this topic, I was talking on Skype with Jay about what topic he wanted to share about, and this is not my favorite topic. I would love to talk about anything else, basically. But he talked to me into it. Anybody who talked to Jay knows he's a good salesperson. But I have some experience in doing it, and primarily I'm going to talk about tradition one, how I use that in my life, because that's the easy one to acknowledge. And not to start talking bingos, and if you don't know the traditions, I will read them as I talk about them, because it could be... The first tradition is our common welfare should come first, personal recovery depends upon a unity. That's the short form. The long form says each member of Alcoholics Anonymous is but a small part of a great whole. A must continue to live, or most of us will die. Hence, our common welfare comes first, but individual welfare follows close afterwards. How I use this tradition, I just want to share shortly on I talked to Jay about this about two weeks ago, something like that, I've been thinking a lot and making some good speeches in the time, but one thing I was thinking about is how I'm now starting to use is use tradition one when driving, using our common welfare should come first, not me. And it's actually been quite fun the last week trying to drive like that, because I spend a lot of time on the road because of my work, and it's really, really fun to try to drive like, you know, yeah, we should come, our common welfare should probably be that we survive the day and come home to our families afterwards, the day is done, So I try to drive like that. I try to let people in and you know, and stuff like that. And it's just fun playing with that stuff like that for me to try to be a better person on the road. How I do it in my relationship with my wife is, of course, that we need to talk about stuff. I could not just come. You know, when I saw the commercial for this convention, I just didn't book a flight and go. I had to go home and talk to my wife about how is this with you. You know, do we have any other plans? What about the kids? Is this you know, I'm leaving for 3 days, and you know, I have a kid who is 2.5, and I have a kid who is 10 months. So it's not like it's just fun being with them at home alone. It's hard work, and so I have to talk to my wife about this shit. And pardon my French. I'm Danish, so we talk like that. and we also use this thing about, you know, yeah, all the planning we do together, we need to plan things, and also about how to act in our lives, how to, you know, we can just go and you know, I can just, if I like, you know, I like gadgets, you know, I don't just go buy an expensive mobile phone because that's what I want. I need to look into our finances. Is the money for that and stuff like that? You know, that's our common welfare come first, not mine. But shortly after, we also have to look to that. I have to do stuff, and she has to do stuff. So when she says, "No, well, I need like to go to school, you know, to study instead of working," yeah, we, you know, we have to look into it. It doesn't work, and yes, it did that, and now she's studying, and I'm making some money. She's making a little bit of money, and but things works out, you know, and it's just. It's really a tradition that I just the short, you know, our common welfare, I use it so many times doing, you know, and I also can use it in a bad way. I can also use it in an argument when I'm trying to win, you know, when I think she's egotistical, you know, I say, it's not our common welfare, and that's not a way of using it. I'm just saying. So, and our second tradition says that for a group purpose, there's but one alternative authority, a loving God, and he may press himself on our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. And that's the short form, and the short form is basically that she's not God and I'm not God. You know, we need to talk about this shit together again, you know, and basically, it's one of the hardest things I've done sober is to be in a relationship living with my wife, because you know, she's also in another 12-step program, so we have some issue once in a while and some ego clenching. But when we do our program, it's, you know, it's much more easier to live together. And of course, tradition 3 is the only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking, and how putting that is the only, I mean. We need to have a desire to be in that relationship. She needs to want to be there, and I want to need to be. She don't have to be with me. She can leave if she wants to, and I can leave if I want to. And I mean, it's after 5 years of marriage and being together for 7, it's once in a while come up, you know, that, well, this doesn't work out, and you have to look into it. And again, it's been fortunate that we are still together, and I'm really happy about that. The fourth tradition says that each group should be autonomous, accepting matter affecting other groups as a whole. And then going down to also connect a little bit, but with 10, Alcoholics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the A name ought never be drawn into public controversies. I cannot talk to say something on the behalf of my family without consulting my wife. You know, if somebody asks us, you know, can you come and stay, you know, go for dinner or something like that, I need to talk to my wife about it. And I cannot say, you know, that for our family that we don't like whatever, you know, bluegrass or whatever. I can say what I don't want. I can say what I don't like. But when it comes to as a family as a whole, I need to talk to my wife about it. And that's also something that I've been really need to work on, and especially those about, you know, what when I'm making plans, you know, people say, you know, can you come and do this and this, you know, because especially now we have the kids, I need to ask my wife, can I go to Stockholm and have some fun for 3 days, or can I go do this or do that, you know, because, you know, it was easier without the kids, because then it was just, you know, the two of us, but you know, it needs some planning, and it's just, it's for me, it's good, because it takes my ego a bit out of the way, that, you know, I have to look into to what's best for the family. And of course, the 12th tradition, anonymity, need to be so for like 20 years to be able to say that. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation for all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principle before personalities. And that means that I do not come first in this relationship, but the principle about how we live comes first. For example, my wife is a member of Debtors Anonymous. It's a small fellowship. People who cannot handle credit cards, basically. And, you know, so we have to live our finances in a certain way, so it's okay with her 12-step program. And that's when the principle could become before personalities, that, again, I cannot go and buy expensive things without looking into our finances and stuff like that. And it just makes good sense when you look at it this way. Clap down, blank, ego is going to continue, so I'm just going to cut off here, because something will, yeah. Ashley, please, take it.
Thanks, I'm Ashley, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ashley.
Hey, my sobriety date is March 4th, 2001. Really happy to be here at the first Yuripa. It's pretty awesome. I've been doing young people's AA for a long time, and it's just really great to meet all you people. When I was asked to speak on the traditions, it was put forth to me to talk about how I work them in my life and my relationships at work, things like that. And you know, after spending some time thinking about it, for me, the traditions are all about group harmony. You know, it's like when we read all of the traditions, that's kind of the overarching theme of them. And it's kind of the same idea with the 12 steps. It's like I have to do a certain amount of work on myself, but then it's all about the group. You know, I can't get sober alone. And so there's no such thing as like me getting sober in a bubble, or like even living out in the world in a bubble, because we're all connected. You know, and so when I think about traditions, I think about this unity. And for me, that's really tied in with humility as well. You know, if I'm thinking like I don't belong, or I'm like better or worse than somebody else, then I'm actually not being present. Like I'm not actually part of this thing. You know, so for me, their traditions are also about like shattering perceptions and shattering the perception that I'm alone. Like I'm this single individual person that's just like going about my business. Like that's actually not true. You know, we're all in this together. There's this thing, I don't know if they have it over here, I'm sure they do, but it's called a traditions checklist, and this originally came out in 1969, and then was printed again in 1971 in the AA Grapevine, and it's from the General Service Office. You can like download this offline. But it's really interesting because it tells you each tradition, and then it goes through a series of questions. And so I've used this in AA groups before in the past, and then also just in my own personal life to just have a way for me to figure out if I'm working in these traditions in my life. And I like a lot of these questions. And I'm just going to talk about, I think, just two traditions to keep it simple. I kind of went through this again and highlighted the questions that were pertinent to me right here, right now. So as far as tradition one is concerned, the first question on this list says, am I in my group a healing, mending, integrating person, or am I divisive? What about gossip and taking other members' inventories? And this to me is just a really good question to apply to my family relationships and work. You know, it's like, how am I showing up? How am I showing up in the world? Am I like being a person of love? Am I listening to people? Am I like here? Am I actually paying attention to what they have to say? You know, am I just like off somewhere else when somebody's talking to me? Am I integrating with a group? You know, or am I just pushing people away? Am I just so full of hate and anger and like discord that I can't like, you know, connect with people? And gossip. Gossip's been a big one for me, especially like I like it didn't even occur to me until I was about 5 years sober that gossip like wasn't cool. You know, I didn't even know. And maybe it's because I was young. I'm sure all people gossip at any age. But I would go to these, you know, young people's meetings and even just in my life, you know, and just gossip about other people. It's just like what you do, you just talk about other people, you know. And I remember around 5 years sober, my sponsor said something to me and we were talking about gossip and I heard somebody had been gossiping about me. You know, and I was pissed. And she's like, well, let's look at your behavior. You know, like, are you gossiping about other people? And it's like, well, yeah, you know, yeah, I am. And it's like, well, why are you doing that? You know, I'm this kind of person that for so long, if I didn't like somebody, like I wanted to get the whole group to not like that person just so like I would feel good about myself. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, it's so messed up to think about it now. But this is just a really good tool that I can use in all areas of my life. It's like, just ask myself this question, like, what am I bringing to the table? Am I like talking shit about people or not? You know, and if I'm talking shit about people, why am I doing that? You know, it's like, what's the motivation behind that? Like, do I really not like myself that much so that I have to just put more negative stuff out into the world? The next question that I like here, it says, do I put down some of AA activities as if I were superior for not participating or in this or that aspect of AA? And this question for me is like really pertinent in my family and at work. And I oftentimes think that I don't have to like do certain things because like I'm better. You know, it's like at work, you know, a coworker will ask me to do something and then I think like, yeah, I don't actually need to participate in that. Like I don't need to go to the holiday party. I don't need to like be part of this group. Like I have way better things to do. And that's actually not, you know, that's not what the tradition's about. Like it's all about unity. And so me, you know, saying that I'm better than something and not participating is just ultimately not good for the group as a whole. I like this question too. Am I considerate of AA members as I want them to be of me? And this is pertinent in all areas of my life, especially with friendships. And I often hold people to a really high standard that I can't even live up to myself. You know, I expect a lot out of people. I expect them to treat me certain ways, to do certain things, and oftentimes I am falling short of that mark. And so this is just a good thing for me to think about in terms of, like, can I be gentle with other people, and can I be gentle with myself, you know? I'm going to skip on down to tradition 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or AA as a whole. And this one is really, really pertinent with my family. Do I insist that there are only a few right ways of doing things in AA? And pretty much my whole life, I've always thought that, like, I know the right way to do things and like nobody else does. And I come from a long line of alcoholics and a really crazy family. And I was always trying to, like, get my dad to do certain things and, like, get my brother to do certain things. And, like I had all these ideas about what was right, you know, and I was never really willing to listen to what anybody else had to say to just listen to what anyone else had to say, to hear their experience, you know, and maybe think for one second that somebody could be living their life and they were fine without me interjecting and, like, giving them my opinion. Or thinking that, like, or trying to, like, force them to do what I thought was right. Do I put down other members' behavior when it is different from mine, or do I learn from it? And this is a huge one that I practice in AA as well as outside in the world. It's like, I often think that I know the right way to do things and that my way is far superior than anyone else's. And what I've learned through the years is that I am much more, I'm a happier person when I can just let go of that ego and just hear that there are so many different ways that people work the steps in their lives, just like have different kinds of relationships, and that I don't know, like I don't always know the right way to do things. When I got sober, my world was really small. You know, I was 21 when I got here. I had like, I was really afraid. I didn't think that I was ever going to be anything. You know, I didn't think that I was going to make it to 25. I mean, I didn't think that I was going to see my 25th birthday. And coming in here and working the steps and then actually applying them to my life, you know, has really opened me up. And it's given me the ability now to hear what other people have to say. And my world just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And these questions really help that. Am I willing to help a newcomer go to any lengths, his lengths, not mine, to stay sober? And this is a great question, and I'll end with this. It's just, it goes back to this idea of being autonomous and, you know, unity and just really letting everyone in the world have their own experience. You know, I mean, that's what makes this planet so interesting, is that everyone can do things however they want, and that I don't have to be in there like always like meddling and like trying to fix everything and telling everybody how smart I am and how much I know and, you know, all this. And this has been a really good one for me in Berlin, because I showed up and I'm one of the youngest people in AA there with the most time sober, and it's like really fucking weird, you know, and people are looking at me like, oh wow, and I'm like, no, like we're all in this together, like it's not, you know, there's no whatever, I don't really know anything. But the truth is I have experience, you know, and I've stayed sober for a while, and I have a really amazing life today. As a result of showing up here and doing these things, listening to my fellows, not like bad mouthing AA, not talking shit about other meetings, you know, that I don't think are cool. It's like, I just show up and pay attention and try and get the most out of my experience here. So I am really, really psyched about this. If anyone wants to see these questions, some of them are really intense and really amazing, and come talk to me after the meeting. Thanks.
Thanks. Woo! Thank you, guys. The meeting is now open for question and answer or comments. We ask that you limit your share to 3 minutes. Questions are welcome from the floor, but please come up in the front if you're going to share. Who would like to begin?
Repeat the question.
Anonymity is a spiritual tool. Is that what you said? Principle. Yeah. What does that mean? Or? Yeah.
I have something on that. How I understand that part of tradition 12 is that I'm not a hero, I'm not a guru or anything like that in AA. I'm just an AA member, and my experience is that I am one of the founders of the men's meeting that I go to. I'm one of the guys with most sober time, which means that I, of course, want some kind of a status there at the meeting. But I really, when people try to put me on a pedestal, I try to chop it down as fast as I can, because I don't want to be there. And one of the greatest things that I love about the meeting is that I don't get that respect. I don't get that, because I'm just a jackass like the rest of us. And I don't want to be up there on that pedestal as some kind of a guru. And it's really important for me to get down on just being an AA member at the group. How can I say it? It's just to be a member is really important for me. That's my, I don't know if that's what you're talking about. That's what I got out of your question. Is that I don't want to be a guru in AA. I'm a guy with some experience, but nothing more, nothing less than that.
I think what you said was really good, and I think about that in a lot of different ways. One is I can look at my behavior in AA and kind of what I mentioned before. Am I bringing harmony to the meetings? Am I going around like talking crap about other people's behavior or judging people? And like, what am I bringing to the meeting? You know, and what am I willing to do for the meeting? And what am I willing to do and not get a pat on the back? You know what I mean? Am I showing up to AA expecting like a fucking reward, you know, for like, oh, look how many people I sponsor and look at all the service I do and like, you know, where's like my kudos? And that's kind of how I think about it. It's like, it's not really, like you said, it's not really about being a guru or getting to that status or getting like some prize, you know, it's like we're doing this because it saves our lives. You know, I mean, that's why we're all here, you know, because we were dying and we wanted to wake up, so.
My ego want to be a guru, though.
Yeah.
Dallas, alcoholic. I'm from Milan. I broke a tradition, and everyone was really pissed off because I sent an invitation to a meeting through Facebook messaging instead of private emails or something, and everyone got really pissed off. And of course, myself trying to defend myself on this thing, I talked about anonymity, and it doesn't talk anything about we don't use our name because we want to be a secret society. the reason it talks about in the 12th tradition, if you're reading the 12th tradition, is it talks about the fact that we keep ourselves secret and we keep our identity secret like Superman does, you know, because that's part of the spiritual process, you know, because we're not looking for the acclaim, because we're doing it, that's the point of it, you know, and Dr. Bob actually talked about the second part of this, the same tradition, is that we are not so anonymous that other people can't find us. And a lot of people, you know, forget this, and especially where I'm from, AA is not a big thing, AA is not popular in Northern Italy, and so a lot of people are really scared to let other people know who they are, you know, and I think that anonymity, you know, when it's appropriate, can, you know, should be broken, and that's what I think the other part of this is. We keep ourselves, the anonymity part, just to practice the spiritual side of the program. It doesn't have anything to do with being so secret that nobody ever finds out about us, you know, because we might drink if someone finds out our name, you know. It has to do with the things that we're trying to do, the principles we're trying to practice. It's really not important if we give our name, because we're trying to just live as you know, the agent that it talks about, the children that it talks about.
Thank you.
Frankfurt, and selfishness is the root of my troubles. I've just shared in the other meeting, but I'll just very briefly share about my experience of the traditions. They've been invaluable in my work life. I remember tradition 10 not expressing opinions. I mean, if anyone has tried not to express an opinion, even for a day, without being asked, it's a tough deal for someone like me. I went from here, you know, zero to hero very quickly and had a beautiful job. And it's not that, you know, we was in this department helping people get jobs that were disabled, and they had another department, and it's not that, you know, I just felt I needed to tell them what they were doing wrong, you know, and then my sponsor would point out, well, tradition 4, they're autonomous, they can do exactly what the hell they like in this department, you know, even though I think I'm doing it for a good motive. And even in the business meetings, you know, there would be lots of people in there that would think this is a great idea. I think that's terrible. But I was able to lay aside what I thought and just go along with it within the business meeting. Okay, so, and also, you know, with this anonymity that we're talking about in the, it's, for me, it's like I don't want to be important in my personal life or in AA. I don't want to be a celebrity. I don't want to seek the attention of other people in order to make myself feel better. I mean, that's what it kind of means to me. My ego is the thing that will kill me. I mean, even up here is a dangerous thing for me. You know, I have to do a lot of frontline work with newcomers in order to be able to not be above. But and lastly, on tradition 5, having one primary purpose. You know, we help people find jobs. But then I thought it would be a great idea if we helped them with education, or we helped them with this or that or the other, and it just went horribly wrong, you know, in my work. Tradition 7, being fully self-supporting, I try and support myself and those around me, just as a principle. You know, when I was drinking, I would just take from anybody. So it's, I find an immense spiritual significance in the traditions and their application into my life, and anything that I've learned has been through intergroup, really, and seeing them applied and good sponsorship, and I'll leave it there. Thanks.
Nice.
Matthew Argolic, I just share, so I'll keep it brief. But when you said about how you doing, good, awesome. I'm doing good too. With that seventh tradition stuff, I had a couple of really, really wealthy friends. One's from San Francisco and he's got lots of cash. And he'd come and visit me in Melbourne on a regular basis and we'd go out for dinner. And it would be like, well, hang on, you got lots of cash, so you should be taking me out to somewhere really nice for dinner and we can have like a really nice meal. And there'd be all this head fuck going on in my head about, well, do I offer to pay, or do I take somewhere really cheap, or do I encourage him to go somewhere really expensive but and expect him to pay, or what? And then my sponsor said, Matt, you've got to be self-supporting in all your relationships. And it was the same with my brother, who's doing very successfully. You know what? they may have cash, more cash than me, that doesn't matter. When it comes to going out for dinner, if I'm going out to a restaurant, I should expect to be able to pay my own way. If someone offers, that's different, but I should never expect. And it took so much pressure off going out for dinner. And now when he comes over to Melbourne, I choose to go somewhere that I can afford to pay my own way at, and that's it. No debate. And I can actually enjoy his company and his friendship, not obsess about getting something out of his wallet. So thanks for asking me to share.
Thank you.
My name's Ashley. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Ashley.
Hi. I hope you can hear me. But thank you both for sharing on the topic. And I'd just like to add that before I could apply any traditions to my life, I first had to learn how to apply them in the group. And I think that a lot of people in sponsorship or home groups in general sort of forget maybe to bring up the tradition. And so I'm sharing in hopes of encouraging some people who haven't worked the traditions that are outlined in the 12 and 12 and also online. There's some great literature available on that. And to suggest maybe that your sponsor help you go through the traditions or that your group do a checklist about how is the home group functioning. And it was for me by doing that on my own, first in AA, that I could then go out and apply them in my life. And it's been invaluable in both arenas, you know, both as an AA member to learn how to function in the fellowship, because that really saves me in the long run. Like, the steps first get me sober, but if I'm unable to function in my AA group, I feel uncomfortable there. And if I start to feel uncomfortable in AA, I'm going to start to work myself out. My disease will start to isolate myself again. And so it's important for me to learn those tips about how do I stay, you know, one among many? How do I help support the newcomer and bring people into my group? How am I a productive member of this society of Alcoholics Anonymous? Do I participate? Do I give back, or do I just take everything? And by practicing there in that safe place where I can make as many mistakes as I want, then I can learn how to do that at work, in my family, in all these other places that are important. But if I didn't apply it first at the group, I wouldn't be able to do it in these other ways that were talked about today. But I'm very grateful that I had a sponsor that was involved with service work early on and brought me in to that. And I think that this is a topic that definitely could be talked about more. And that for anybody that doesn't know, the fellowship that was given to us by the first AAs has three legacies. There's the steps, the traditions, and the concepts. There's 12 of each of them. And a lot of people, I don't think, even know that. And those are the three things that our whole society stands on. And as members, we're responsible to carry that on. And especially as young people, this legacy has been passed to us by the, you know, service conference. And we need to be educated and be able to talk to our sponsors and our sponsees and our home groups about how to keep the fellowship alive, because if we don't do that, drunks will die. So thanks for all being here today.
Thank you.
I'm Brendan. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi,
thank you guys very much for sharing. I guess just a couple things. My experience with the traditions is admittedly really limited, but I'm glad that you just said something about applying that tradition checklist to the group. I guess that's kind of like the one area that I have had some experience. I was in my home group used to be this men's group that sounds similar to yours from what you said, a lot of strong personalities, you know, and what we do is we call it a group inventory, and there's different ways of doing it, but kind of the most popular where I'm from and the one that we did in that home group was we just took the traditions checklist, and we just applied those things all to our group. And, I guess I just want to share my experiences, like with those guys, you know, they have a lot of, strong personalities, and I didn't agree with, you know, a lot of them, and that's not the point, but, it would have been a really different scene if we had tried to take a group inventory and tried to, you know, there was conflict, you know, especially with that group, like, you know, the conflict was just bubbling over the top by the time we took a group inventory. And if we didn't use, it would have been so different if we didn't use the checklist, if we just talked the way that, you know, if we just shared our opinions the way that we thought we should, would have been chaos. Like, people would have literally been punching each other in the face. And it's a very different, it's just pretty amazing to see, like, when we're answering those questions, it takes the focus in a completely different direction than it would have been if we were just, you know, there arguing by ourselves. And one thing it does is sort of separates, for a lot of people what they need to go and inventory themselves. You know what I mean? Because that was, you know, a lot of people were bringing stuff into the group discussion that really wasn't about the group. It was really about their own inventory that they needed to do. And, it was a pretty, I don't know what the word is, not humiliating, but it was really humbling experience. It could be humiliating sometimes, but, it really made these guys come together in this way that was, you know, just like everything about AA. It's like it would never have happened otherwise. You know what I mean? It would have been a brawl without, you know, the steps into the traditions. And I guess the only other thing I thought to say was about anonymity. I just wanted to fill in one kind of gap, which is just, you know, sometimes you see like celebrities, they get sober on Celebrity Rehab or whatever the hell, and they're going on Conan and talking about being sober and stuff. And I just, you know, was going to throw that in there too. That's not an issue as much maybe, but that's also an issue with anonymity, is not, you know, not going out into the public sphere and just telling your opinion about what AA is and stuff. And it is attraction, not promotion. Another thing real briefly, and I'll end, is, you know, we have, cooperation with the professional community, and we have public information, and there's like a way to go about that, so that we make AA accessible. And that's kind of how AA is, my understanding, has kind of always worked, is like through those people where the drunk, you know, that's kind of where we get some of the drunks from, the ones that don't come right to the meeting. We just make that information, you know, available to the professional community, the doctors and stuff that have drunks, you know, in the hospital. And, so that's about all I have. Thanks.
I also think that it is the sponsor responsibility to take the sponsees through the 12 traditions. I mean, for me, that's really important that I do that as a sponsor, to sit down with my sponsees and read the tradition. Actually, at the moment, we are doing it as a group because I had three sponsees that I forgot about doing it with, and that we just sit up and we opened up the group, and we are just trying to sit down once a month and look at the tradition. I would really encourage that. It's a lot of fun. And as a group, what we do as a group is at our group conscious meeting, we have an open group conscious meeting. We meet once a month before the meeting. Everybody can come and share, and we have one person talking for 5 minutes about a tradition. And no discussion, just one person, because you know, otherwise it takes forever. But you know, just to get a bit of information into the group about traditions, because we talk steps all the time. We forget traditions often. Just want to share that.
Thanks.
My name is Pelle, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Pelle.
Just came from the meeting, resting on our laurels. And I just had to say that I have to keep working in the program. I have to start to work in the program again, really intensely. Tradition is my favorites, actually. They help me a lot in my sobriety outside of the AA. Inside, there's so many other to take control of the situation, kind of. That's my experience in the rooms. But outside, when I'm in charge of my life, I've used it a lot, and like you said, David, like the 7th tradition, be self-supporting, and the 12th tradition, not to about the anonymity, is the spiritual foundation, is for me, is meaning that I'm not talking bullshit about anyone else who's not in the room, which I'm pretty good at, I used to be at least, and now I'm through the tradition, I know, like, yeah, I shouldn't do that, and it feels wrong to do it. And my sponsor went through the tradition with me, and he also explained what it could mean in the life outside of AA. There is a more an open case. You can kind of freestyle. you can apply it to a situation when how you actually, you know, it's up to you to do it. But it's, for me, it's been really, really good to have it with me in the life outside. And then I'm in a relationship since a year and a half. And, I don't know what would happen if I didn't have the tradition with me. Well, I know what would happen, and it wouldn't be that beautiful as it is today, you know. So, and also, which is, I often go to, there's a lot of meetings in Stockholm, and there's the topic meeting with the traditions, and kind of sad to hear, you know, when people share about, well, I don't know the tradition that well. Share about that. Anything else. And my advice is just to read it and try to apply it to all your affairs. And they work as well. They work just as, not as good as, you can't compare them, but the step works for you, and the tradition works for you in a group, kind of, as I know it. Okay, thank you. A little bit rambling there, but okay, thanks.
It is said that we have the steps so we don't kill ourselves, and the tradition so we don't kill the child. That's a good way of putting it also.
Yeah.
We got 6 minutes left if anybody wanna ask question. Yeah, then we close the meeting instead. Yeah. That's all the time we had. No, not really. thank you for everyone for being a part of this meeting. The next meeting is this.